Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us thankful hearts as a blessing of his grace. We meditate today on verses from Luke chapter 10. It's verses 1 through 12 and then verses 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Master, dear fellow disciples of Christ, you ever have one of those times when it's really, really hard to just be thankful? There's a proverb that says how awful it is if you sing happy songs to grieving hearts. And sometimes I wonder if Thanksgiving doesn't come off that way. It's like we're trying to crank ourselves up into some kind of thankful heart. And you look at people's lives and the losses they've suffered. If there's a death in the family or the health is failing or economic times come down hard on them, how do you have happy thoughts? You know, how can I be thankful when I'm not even happy? And a text like this might seem like a strange place to look for Thanksgiving. And yet I think it's prime because it not only takes us away from that realm of trying to find happiness in happenings, but it also points us back to the purpose of our lives, and it shows us that when we try to find joy in the externals, we're on shaky ground. Jesus actually corrected his disciples on that and told them something far more joyful to put their hope in and their happiness in, to find their blessing from God in that joy in their hearts from knowing their names were written in heaven. There are times when the Lord will remind you of this in your life, and it just becomes so clear through your experiences when you lose everything and you find that Christ is really everything. You really have God your great portion when you take your eyes off the things of your life. That was the lesson in the third place I'm talking about now in this series of sermons on this year's trip to China for China Partners. 2 weeks at the end of October, the congregation was kind enough to help me going and coming so that I could go there to teach in three different schools that I'll tell you about in a minute, but the miracles there were just awesome to see the Holy Spirit at work and all these things going on behind the scenes. And so we're going to look at give thanks for showers of blessings in the first verses in the harvest, and then the last verses of the text in the Word. I started thinking about this sermon when I was in a place called Wenzhou. That's how you pronounce that Chinese city name. That's called Wenzhou. It used to be known as the Jerusalem of China because so many Christian missionaries worked there that you can still see effects of Christianity all over the city. There's far more Christian churches than you find in other places. And it's amazing that the material prosperity that's there too. But Wenzhou is a place that is friendly to Christian missionaries. And so they put a school there, a Bible school, about 2 hours outside of the city. Up until this past year, it was very hard to get over there, out there over really rough roads. Can you imagine trying to find a place for an area high school or MLS to try to find a place where the local officials would not bother you? Because you could get shut down for just having a school that was illegal because you had a school outside of the government umbrella. This school in Wenzhou is only 4 years old, and the pictures I'm going to show you are the third place it's been. And hopefully now this is where they can stay for a while. But they had to pick a place far out of this major city, friendly to Christians, where they hoped that government officials would not come out and inspect too often. And then they put a freeway through. And this year it took about half an hour to get out there over some really awesome roads, so hopefully they'll still be okay. But what got me thinking about this sermon while I was there the third week in October was the shower room. You see the beautiful sink and the marble, the tiled floors. There's a Western-style toilet behind me, which is wonderful, but there's no shower head. What you see there are buckets that the night before were filled with hot boiling water. That's what this thermos was for right there. And the wash basins. And this is what they call a shower. When I was there, it took a little getting used to, but I was thankful for the times we went camping when I was a kid because this wasn't really so strange. It just, 30, 40 years later, it takes a little getting used to again. But I thought about some of my hunter friends that go scurrying through the woods after those animals. And a sink like that? Running water? I don't think so. Elk hunters out in Wyoming, up and down the mountains. The only thing is, though, those guys can get grungy, and they don't have to stand in front of people where you're expected to look polished and clean. So it took a little doing, but I couldn't help thinking about showers of blessings. Showers of blessings that God gives us in the harvest and in the Word. Because as I prayed for the Lord to help me to adjust to this new situation, it helped me focus again on why I was really there. The Lord Jesus to these 72 disciples when he sends them out, these are laymen on an evangelism committee that are sent out after he had already sent out the 12 and they had come back. And the instructions to the 12 and to the 72 were very similar. And the command of the Lord here strikes at the heart of one of our problems even as Christians. We forget to pray. All the Lord says is, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That hasn't changed. Sometimes they try to tell us we're training too many workers in the Wisconsin Senate. We have too many called workers. And I ask my brethren the question, well, did the Lord say now the harvest is no longer plentiful? We should stop praying for workers? Harvest is still plentiful. Pray for workers and don't stop praying. But we get so narrow-minded and closed in on our little lives and our discontent with this or that, the happenings that make us so unhappy that we forget to pray. This time of year, I think I will always remember being at one of the grocery stores, rushing in and rushing out, and about 25 yards past a man with a cart that went off the edge, I stopped to think, maybe he needs help. And I turned around, and the look on that man's face I will never forget. Who do you think you are? He was looking at me all the time as I walked past and walked away. Who do you think you are? And I thought, yeah, who do I think I am? My life is so important that I rush here and there that I forget the harvest field of the Lord where I am living to show the love of Christ in kindness. At least with my hands, if I can't open my mouth and speak of God's praise. But it was too late. We forget to pray. We forget where we are. We need the Savior who sent the workers into the harvest field to pray for harvest. This is actually not far from the school, which is behind me when I took this picture. These are called sheaves of grain. Stocks, shocks of probably straw by this time. But that's how they still bundle them up in the way that you've maybe heard they would stand up the grain in Old Testament times around Israel in the Near East. They still do that in places in China, especially in more remote places like this one. What amazes me is the fact that when the Lord has told us all these years, pray for workers, and we keep on praying for workers and we think only of the workers that we're able to send in our sin, and we don't realize that we are praying for the workers all over the world, like the ones at this school. They had to put this school out where the officials wouldn't get at it because the faculty very carefully told us, we can't be in the Three Self Church because of doctrinal problems. But see, legally, they have to operate under the Three Self umbrella. That's the government, communist government approved umbrella for churches. It's fairly similar to our registration for tax exempt status. There are more and more similarities as the years go by. But there are conscientious, Bible-believing Chinese pastors like the young man who's barely into his 30s, maybe mid-30s. He's only been graduated from the seminary in Wuhan for about 4 years. And he started a school that's moved 3 times. And he told us, we can't do three-self church. We don't want the family church, which is underground. It tends to be Pentecostal and anti-government. Listening to that faculty talk about the school and why they set it up like that would be sitting down with Wisconsin Synod officials to understand why we are as independent as we are. It's the love of the Word. And they teach these students in the 2 levels there to come to this school, which now is a beautiful school, and sing their hearts out. I haven't heard people sing like that, I think, any place in China. I told them that. They just sing their hearts out. They sing to Jesus, and some of those students have a hard time staying in their seats. They want to get up and sing. Do you remember a few years ago when we sang from our hymnal that song that was originally written in Chewa? It's an African song, and it's really got a beautiful beat to it. And I mentioned after we sang it with our long faces and our really staid Northern European way of singing, I said, only in a Wisconsin Synod church could people sing a song like that. Well, apparently in China, that happens every now and then, too. They told me about a new fellowship in someone's apartment where the leader of that fellowship told them. They had just sung this beautiful, upbeat Chinese song with, a Northern European style, I guess. I don't know. But the leader of that group told them after they sang, the only one who won on that song was the devil. And they laughed when they told me this because, you got to understand where they... So the next time they sang it to the Lord with their hearts in the song. And that's the way they teach them to sing at this school. They want their hearts in it. They want it to show. And you really see it on their faces as they're singing there in the 2 levels. Jesus said, when you enter a town, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. He told them, don't take a bunch of things along, but whatever they give you, be satisfied with that. So this is one of the rooms. This is Jim Aderman, if you know him from writing from Forward in Christ. I've known him for a lot of years since youth work and campus ministry work in Milwaukee, but he was along to teach at this school and is also setting up the journal that we'll be writing for the pastors there to answer their questions scripturally. But the 3rd floor of the dormitory building, which is across the courtyard from the new church, has these apartments, beautifully painted white walls, and nice floor, and compared to what the students are living in, this is really luxury living. But I have to tell you, the first night we got there, it was dark, so you can't see what's around the school. And sometimes, especially when you're in a strange place like that, your mind starts to play tricks on you because, you know, sleeping along, just trying to mind my own business and sleep, I hear these sounds. And then my mind starts to think about maybe mice or rats are running all around in the room. And you just try to sleep through that and remember the Lord's words, whatever they give you. Well, the next morning when I woke up, I looked out these windows. You can't tell from the picture there, but within arm's length was a three-story building, and what I thought at first was a chicken coop was actually a roosting coop for pigeons, white pigeons, that would come there, and that's what I was hearing the night before. So my mind playing tricks on me, see? Whatever they give you. Whatever they give you. This is food preparation. The kitchen is right behind her. But right on the cement with a wooden hardboard there, I think they're cutting up chicken or pork for that day. Sometimes during class there would be these really loud sounds outside, somebody going by with a horn and shouting Chinese. The students told me it was a meat salesman. So that's where they'd get their meat, and that's how they would prepare it, and it wouldn't be too long. It would be in the soup or whatever. Whatever they give you. And this is the table where the teachers would sit. These are two of the faculty members there, Jim Aderman and Ting Wong, sitting there. And I don't know if you've heard about Ting Wong, but she is the Chinese woman that has all these connections in China that make it possible for us to go to these schools. She has studied with our pastors over here so that she can interpret for us and is very discerning in doctrine. So that if something is misinterpreted or missaid, she will tell us. And she's a very good one to tell them in those schools, this is what we teach. And if they don't want to hear it, they don't invite us. So Ting Wong is there, and she's the one that if you haven't read your New Life News yet, it's probably in your mailbox. Don't forget to pick it up. But the picture that I have in New Life News this month is from up in the mountains outside of Wenzhou, where we had gone hiking, and Ting saw this beautiful pool of water and bent down to touch that beautiful water and slipped in. Jim Aderman, fortunately, was there to pull her out. Her face was just quite frightened, as any of us would have been. We almost lost her. But in typical fashion, Ting finds something humorous about this, so she's come to call that experience her second baptism. She knows there's only one baptism. But she's there, and we're eating and drinking whatever they give us. This is one of the few days we didn't have rice. I think these are probably rice buns with some kind of meat mixture in the middle there, and it tasted very strange. Do you realize, though, that when we go out, we have a great advantage over the disciples that Jesus sent? They didn't have these little boxes of Lactaid. You ever hear of Lactaid? The pharmacist told me about this. I said, I'm not lactose intolerant. She said, well, it doesn't matter. This has the enzymes that will help your stomach digest the food. So the first trip 5 years ago, and then on this trip, I would eat one of those before every meal for the first couple, 3 days, and this wimpy stomach of mine would kind of settle down over time. We have these advantages that are great blessings so that you can receive whatever they give and not have it bother you. One of the problems, though, at this particular table was the generosity of the Christians sitting around there. They wanted to eat 3 or 4 bowls of rice, which we typically had morning, noon, and night. And if I only wanted one bowl, they were busy filling my bowl. This is where I had to learn the word bala and say it with enthusiasm, bala. I thought it meant no, but they told me, no, it means I'm full. Stop filling my bowl. Bala. It's because somebody one time slipped some chicken soup in there, and I didn't know exactly what that was floating in there. It turned out to be chicken livers. I know some of you probably like that, but no, I couldn't eat that when I was a kid. So I learned bala, see. And finally, when they thought I needed more and more rice, I said, you know, it looks better on you guys than it looks on me, all this through an interpreter, but I just didn't want to eat that much. Eating and drinking whatever they give you. So my relatives back in America heard about the showers that we had to use that weren't really showers, they were buckets. But that was luxury compared to what the students have. This is their washroom. The men and the women, these are like early 20s, We would call this like an area high school or MLC, a worker training school. They get these kids from all over China, out of the highways and the byways. They have an older gentleman that's dedicated his life to traveling all over China to recruit these poor kids that are willing to come and study the Bible at this Bible school, but they don't even have the money to pay their tuition, so tuition is free. They can't get there, so they give them transportation, and to get back home, the school pays for that too. But the students consider this a luxury to have running water in many cases. And so they must have more private places for private washing. But as far as anything else, they do this out there at the sink. During the break one morning, one of the students just disappeared for a while. I wondered where he was. I looked out in the courtyard, and there he was washing his hair while he had that 10-minute break to get back to class, just hadn't been able to do it earlier. But compared to what we had, this is what the students have. And this is what you find over and over again. Eating and drinking whatever they give you is better than what they have. Jesus said, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. If you enter a town and are not welcomed, go out into the streets and make it clear. You're in trouble with God. The kingdom of God is near. We don't even want the dust of your town on our feet. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town that rejects you. This is a woman leading an actual oxen with the calf that was nursing along the way. And this is the first smile I think she had all morning. We had rushed across the bridge, which is over here, while she was just reaming out this man who's either her husband or her father. And you know, you don't have to know Chinese to know when somebody is really getting chewed out. I mean, she was so mad as she led that oxen across that bridge. And we're rushing to catch up with her to take a picture. The reason that she's smiling right here is because she can't understand why we want this picture of her oxen. She told us through the interpreter, everybody in town has one of these. It'd be kind of like being in our country, you have a foreigner staying at your house, and they're all excited to take a picture of your car. Well, everybody around has one of these. But there she was, no real joy in her life, no respect for her husband or her father. And all around, you see this, the dirt and the filth and the poverty and the hardness on the faces of people who are not Christian. There's such a difference in China between the ones who know Christ and the ones who don't. You can see it in their eyes, you can see it on their face. And right up here on the hill, the kingdom of God is near. They built that school with the cross lifted as high as they could. It's an imposing building. It's only about a year old. Where they got the money for it, I don't know. But they wanted to lift high the cross, and then across the courtyard, this is the showers of blessing I was telling you about, and the student's washroom down there, and the student apartments. And this one right here is the apartment where one of the faculty members stay, and another one there. The faculty that lives there, that's all they have. And whatever they own is in that room. But the kingdom of God is near. They know Christ. They know Christ crucified. They know his forgiveness for all the times that we've been so ungrateful. They know his forgiveness that made Jesus say, don't look at the things of this world, look at the things of heaven. Showers of blessings in the Word. Jesus says, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, and who rejects me rejects him who sent me. When we tell them before we get there, this is what we believe and teach, and they invite us anyway. And then we get there, and we make sure we hit the hot button issues, like the Bible is the authority, baptism is a sacrament for infants too, and Lord's Supper. We teach them especially the classes about the means of grace, because what they're used to is hardcore Calvinism, complete with double predestination, lack of the sacraments and all that. And if they listen to us and still say thanks and then invite us back, it's what Jesus is talking about here. It's what's in 2 John when it talks about traveling teachers coming around, and if they don't bring the word of Christ in all its truth and purity, you don't even invite them in. Because if you help a traveling false teacher, you are helping in their wicked work. Well, they listen They invite us back. And they also make a point to tell us we don't invite just anybody here. They love the Word of God, and it shows in the students' faces. These two young men who knew hardly any English at all, and Peter, who just kept trying. So I gave him the NIV Bible that I brought over with me because he knew a little bit of English. It was like I was giving him a house or a car. I'm not kidding you. Give him an English Bible, especially the NIV. He had to then turn around and give me his Chinese Bible with English on the side. And I told him, don't you need this? You know, how is he going to replace that? He insisted. I couldn't say no. But when he wanted us to take the only lamp that he had loaned to us, then no. We told him, you keep the lamp because there was no way for us to take it. But he wants to study Hebrew and he wants to study Greek. I hope you remember Peter in your prayers. I don't know how the Lord will bring this about. But that was my part to teach them in Genesis, Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Eit Hashemayim, Ve'et Haaretz. Teach them the Hebrew, teach them to say the Hebrew, teach them to read what they can of it. And it's not, you know, even college level, but they're picking up what they can and they're hearing the authority of Jesus Christ and his word. We spent a lot of time during that week that we were there in John chapter 1 in the Greek. So they would read that and hear that. And they listen. And they listen even when some of us try to sing the songs in Chinese. See this little book that she has right there? A book about 1/4 the size of our hymnal has 1,000 songs in it with all the music. Their music is a number system, the do, re, mi scale, and by the numbers they can sing whatever the melody is and they can play it too on the keyboard. So they have the students get up and take turns and they'll lead the singing, and I told them, make sure you enunciate the Chinese words because I'll try to copy you with my mouth even though I don't know what in the world they're singing except Yesu, you know, Jesus, you can recognize that. Woman is us. There are certain words that starts to come out. I is love, so you start to recognize that. But I told them, if I just mimic you, eventually I'll know what these words mean too. So they would listen and welcome you even if you were just trying. Here is the picture of the winners of the Kling Cross. The Kling Cross is something that one of our Christians in America here saw in a magazine, and it's shaped and resized actually to fit an adult hand. To thy cross I cling from Rock of Ages. So we made these crosses, but unfortunately, I only had 17 in a class of 24. Bless you. So I thought I would set up this experiment or test where they had to win the cross. I knew I was in trouble when they were all excited about these crosses. It wasn't like if I took these to an American classroom, the kids would just sort of, yeah, you know, no big deal. But boy, in China, they wanted these things. And so I said, we're going to learn the Greek alphabet. So I took half an hour, taught them the Greek alphabet, told them to study it. Tomorrow there'll be a test. And whoever does well on the test, the top test scores, will get one of these crosses. A very wise young Chinese student told me, you got a problem. You only have 17 crosses and there's 24 students in here. You need to also make them write it. So she just increased the test to really big proportions. So we, in half an hour, went through the Greek alphabet and then told them to study it. And the next day, they all had to sit and write it and then come up in front of the class and read in order what their alphabet says. And I kept track of the scores and so forth. You got to understand, in Chinese, they don't have an alphabet. Unless they studied English, they didn't have a clue what an alphabet was. Because they had originally 20,000 characters in written Chinese. Mao Zedong reduced it to 20 and made everybody learn, I should say 2,000 figures, and everybody had to learn Mandarin. But you look at the picture, and it doesn't sound like what it looks like. So the idea of an alphabet in order, I forgot to explain that to them. And some of the boys in particular, they couldn't get them all in order at all, which maybe isn't all that surprising. It was Greek. But there were girls in that class, 3 or 4 of them, that got perfect scores overnight. They wrote them and they said them without mistake. And there were some of them, I think Peter probably, he did the best of the boys. He got 1/2 off or something like that. And there were others there that had only 1 or 2 mistakes. But I apologized to the students that were sitting in their desks while I took this picture. I didn't have enough for everybody, and I didn't want them to feel bad. And they all just smiled and said, next time. That's how they say, they listen, and they listen. And then they give us awards like this one. That was in that one of those boxes right there. This is Pastor Wong. I think he's mid-30s. He just graduated, as I said, about 4 years ago from seminary. He started a Bible school in that amount of time that he had to move three times to escape the officials. One of the teachers that was there, one of the Anglo teachers said, I'm going to go back to America and ask my son-in-law, what have you done with your life lately? Think about it. What have you done for Christ? You see yourself in the harvest field? Do you thank the Lord for showers of blessing? We all can pray. We all can slow down and help somebody that needs help. We all can open our mouth and witness to Christ. But he was so excited to tell the students, you make sure you learn your Greek and Hebrew, even though he doesn't know it. He sees the value in that. He told us this school is to teach God's word and its truth and purity. And then gave us these awards. This was kind of hard to get back to America. People asked me, what does it say in Chinese? I don't know. But they wanted us to know. They were so glad we came, and they hope we'll come back. This is the fourth year that our teachers have gone to that particular school. Rejoice, Jesus says. The disciples came back. They're all excited because the demons submit to them. And Jesus says, no. You don't rejoice in that. That's the externals of your life. That's what you can see and feel and touch. This is what you rejoice in. He says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It took a little bit to get a picture of these two students there from the lower grade, but they're on third floor right outside our shower room. And I especially wanted to get the stylish boots of this one, but she was so shy until the one on the right came to stand with her, she wouldn't have her picture taken. I wanted their picture because they were so gladly and so willingly cleaning the bathrooms and cleaning the rooms. This is the maid service for the school. Kind of like the ones that heated the water the night before and wanted to make sure we could use it while it was still hot. Nothing is too base or small or unimportant for them to do as if it's beneath them. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And that's their attitude. Because they know Christ. They know he was crucified for them and for all. They know that their sins are all forgiven because they've heard that blessed gospel message that forgives even unthankful, selfish, self-righteous, self-centered people like us. Washes those sins away, makes us clean in the blood of Christ, and says, your names are written in heaven. What are you worried about? What's so terrible in your life that you have to be so zeroed in on that you can't look at the books of God in heaven, that book of life, where your names are written and the Lord promises, I will never blot your name out of that book. Just stay with me. Stay in God's word. And he'll never blot the name out. And the joy on their faces is the joy we know when we keep our hope in the Lord. He's standing, this little boy, outside his dad's apartment and his mom's apartment, and she's expecting, which is quite a deal in China with their one-child forced abortion laws. Out in the remoter parts of the country, they don't necessarily enforce those. But she could get in big trouble if some official stopped her and knew that this was their son. He was very shy at first when I tried to take his picture, but he warmed up to the camera by this time. He knows Jesus as his Savior, they teach him. He knows the love of Christ. I forgot to ask whether he was baptized or not. But China Partners has had now scores of baptisms over there, young and old. They will bring their little ones once we explain to them that this is meant for all people. They listen to the love of Jesus. They know their names are written in heaven. Give thanks for showers of blessings. We always have things that are in our life that maybe aren't all that great, but that's how the Lord keeps us honest, keeps us looking, keeps us humble. And those are blessings, the things that he withholds too. But to know that your name is written in heaven, there's nothing better. They know it, and I hope you'll keep them in your prayers as the Lord continues to grow his kingdom with showers of blessings in the gospel throughout the world. Thank the Lord. Amen. Please rise.